Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The next generation of climate control is the Honeywell Lyric Round Wi-Fi Thermostat. Now just $229 at the Home Depot. Lyric lets you control your home's temperature from your smartphone. Running late? Arriving early? Just change the temperature from wherever you are. It also works with Apple HomeKit and works with Samsung SmartThings. Get comfortable with the Honeywell Lyric Thermostat. Just $229 at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only valid through August 15th.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. The way we honor the past, by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present, by appointing junior ushers and junior deacons and junior trustees and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a few moments early this morning to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to read just one verse, verse 13. The book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse 13. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. Now, the Bible says again, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered and marveled, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I want to talk to you just for a few moments early this morning using for a subject, ordinary people. Ordinary people. Now, I know that to be thought of as an ordinary person to many of us is frankly insulting. Mm-hmm. Because many of us have built our lives and our reputations and our careers and our ambitions by being extraordinary. I know I'm right about it. Somebody say amen right there. Uh-huh. But when you think about it, if a teacher tells an eager parent of a preschooler that your little princess is just an ordinary child, I believe somebody might get sued. Mm-hmm. Just think about it. If a professor writes a letter of recommendation for a clergy for a job as a pastor, and they say these words, they say, listen, he's all right, he is a preacher here in our church, but he's just ordinary, or she's just ordinary. We talking about a big scandal and a big fallout in the house of God. I know I'm right about it. Yet, for the Christian, at least one might tell the truth and shame the devil that our faith is founded upon the experiences and expectations of ordinary people. Mm-hmm. Men and women who do not shake or shape the world on the world's terms, but just ordinary people. In our text this morning, we're reminded that Peter and John were illiterate persons. Mm-hmm. Untrained in the schools, uneducated common men, people from whom very little was expected, and more to the point, people who expected very little of themselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, you all know Peter, don't you? Mm-hmm. Peter, and whom you would not want to depend if your life depended on it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because you would never know what he would do. Peter might curse you out, or he might turn around and pull out a switchblade and fight. You never know what he would do. And John, who loved Jesus, and Jesus loved John, who always seemed to be portrayed in the Word of God and the Gospels to be more needy than needed. Mm-hmm. But just before we got to our scripture text in the book of Acts, if you read and know the story, in your studying, you'll find just a few weeks ago, they were frightened, cowered by circumstances. And now in the book of Acts, the third and fourth chapter, causing all kinds of trouble. Mm-hmm. Check it out. They're getting themselves arrested. They were curing a lame man, preaching long sermons, causing the authorities to confront them, and civilization wanted to know about what to do with these ordinary men. My Lord, Peter preaches the sermon, the great miracle, the miracle that God himself comes in the form of Jesus Christ and the world and transforms the world. And then Peter and John, minding their own business on their way to the temple one day, are confronted by a man who asked them for some spare change. You all know the story, don't you? Now, we don't know what the exchange is. Mm-hmm. But we do know that Peter said, silver and gold have I not. Glory to God. Somebody said Peter was broke. I heard him say it in seminary that Peter was a broke preacher. Uh-huh. And when you're walking down the street in your town, I just like to ask the question, if someone comes to you and asks you for spare change, have you ever tried your faith and said these words, silver? And gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to thee. Tell the truth. Mm-hmm. However, Peter goes on to say, but I give you what I have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Ordinary people. Mm-hmm. I dare any ordinary people that's listening to me this morning, try what Peter tried. Uh-huh. And see what your faith in the God that you serve will do before your very eyes. And as the text says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up he stood, and he walked and entered into the temple with them. Somebody say hallelujah. Walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I know this subject, ordinary people, is not about the 5,000 people converted from the great sermon of Peter's. And I know it's not about the lame man from birth that got up and walked. But I must say myself, both points are very good, but they're not good enough. For the subject of the story are those scandalous, ordinary people like Peter and John, uneducated, common men who, because they had been with Jesus, were themselves transformed. That's where the boldness came from, That's where the authority came from. That's where the power came from, and that's where the courage came from, and that's where the joy came from. That ordinary people are given a chance in life to do extraordinary things to the glory of God, and to take nothing and make somebody to go from nobody to telling everybody about a man named Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. What is this transformation of ordinary people? What is this that enables and transforms? Are we the ones whom they will see? Is it our skills, our power, our witness? The answer is no. Note the text again with me. They were uneducated, illiterate. Common men and people wondered at them, and then they knew that they had been with Jesus. Oh, it's in the book. The critics, they recognized. The devil, he recognized. The power and the boldness was not in the particular gift. The power was not in the particular personality of Peter and John. It had to come from somewhere else. For they didn't have it in the beginning. For they were ordinary people just like you and I. They were not born saints. Come on now. They were not born heroes. So where did it come from? They have been with Jesus. I just stopped by early this morning to ask you, do folks explain you that way? Do they say you caught an infection of the resurrection? Or do they say that you have the same power as Jesus? Somebody talked back to me early this morning. Does anyone ever testify about you that something has happened and I know you've been with Jesus? Glory to God, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus. How else could Peter preach? And 5,000 people come, and they didn't just give their hand to the preacher, they got saved. For there is a difference. You know that, don't you? How could they stand before the authorities and say, you may do what you want to do, but we're going to preach it anyhow? For we are witnesses of the risen Christ. I tell you, they caught an infection of the resurrection, and that's what changes ordinary people into extraordinary people. I remember my professor telling me about 36 years ago, he told me that a saint is a saint, not because he or she is good, but because he or she is transparent for something that is more than themselves. Being a window of opportunity, a means of grace, being in the place the Holy Spirit wants you is of ordinary people. Ordinary lives being of extraordinary witnesses to Christ. That addition to the phrase silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give to thee. We give the world the power and love of a risen living Savior. That specializes in ordinary people just like you and I. This is a drive-by, as you can tell, and as I close this morning, I just want to talk to some ordinary people under the sound of my voice. For I, too, am an ordinary person doing some extraordinary things for an awesome God. And I just stopped by early this morning to tell you, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher, and I'm right here every Sunday morning, early, 7 a.m. May the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who is first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations, past, present, and future. The way we honor the past, by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. The way we establish the present, by appointing junior ushers and junior deacons and junior trustees and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody say, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a few moments early this morning to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to read just one verse, verse 13. The book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse 13. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's enough. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. Now, the Bible says again, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered and marveled, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I want to talk to you just for a few moments early this morning using for a subject, ordinary people. Ordinary people. Now, I know that to be thought of as an ordinary person to many of us is frankly insulting. Because many of us have built our lives and our reputations and our careers and our ambitions by being extraordinary. I know I'm right about it. Somebody say amen right there. But when you think about it, if a teacher tells an eager parent of a preschooler that your little princess is just an ordinary child, I believe somebody might get sued. Just think about it. If a professor writes a letter of recommendation for a clergy for a job as a pastor, and they say these words, they say, listen, he's all right. He is a preacher here in our church, but he's just ordinary, or she's just ordinary. We talking about a big scandal and a big fallout in the house of God. I know I'm right about it. Yet, for the Christian, at least one might tell the truth and shame the devil that our faith is founded upon the experiences and expectations of ordinary people. Men and women who do not shake or shape the world on the world's terms, but just ordinary people. In our text this morning, we're reminded that Peter and John were illiterate persons. Untrained in the schools, uneducated common men, people from whom very little was expected, And more to the point, people who expected very little of themselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, you all know Peter, don't you? Mm-hmm. Peter, and whom you would not want to depend if your life depended on it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because you would never know what he would do. Peter might curse you out, or he might turn around and pull out a switchblade and fight. You never know what he would do. And John, who loved Jesus, and Jesus loved John, who always seemed to be portrayed in the Word of God and the Gospels to be more needy than needed. Mm-hmm. But just before we got to our scripture text in the book of Acts, if you read and know the story, in your studying, you'll find just a few weeks ago, they were frightened, cowered by circumstances. And now in the book of Acts, the third and fourth chapter, causing all kinds of trouble. Mm-hmm. Check it out. They're getting themselves arrested. They were curing a lame man, preaching long sermons, causing the authorities to confront them, and civilization wanting to know about what to do with these ordinary men. My Lord, Peter preaches the sermon, the great miracle, the miracle that God himself comes in the form of Jesus Christ and the world and transforms the world. And then Peter and John, minding their own business on their way to the temple one day, are confronted by a man who asked them for some spare change. You all know the story, don't you? Now, we don't know what the exchange is, but we do know that Peter said, "Silver and gold have I not." Glory to God. Somebody said Peter was broke. I heard him say it in seminary that Peter was a broke preacher. And when you're walking down the street in your town, I just like to ask the question, if someone comes to you and asks you for spare change, have you ever tried your faith and said these words, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to thee." Tell the truth. However, Peter goes on to say, "But I give you what I have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Ordinary people. I dare any ordinary people that's listening to me this morning, try what Peter tried. And see what your faith in the God that you serve will do before your very eyes. And as the text says, "And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up he stood, and he walked and entered into the temple with them." Somebody say hallelujah. Walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I know this subject, ordinary people, is not about the 5,000 people converted from the great sermon of Peter's. And I know it's not about the lame man from birth that got up and walked. But I must say myself, both points are very good, but they're not good enough. For the subject of the story are those scandalous, ordinary people like Peter and John, uneducated, common men who, because they had been with Jesus, were themselves transformed. That's where the boldness came from, That's where the authority came from. That's where the power came from. And that's where the courage came from. And that's where the joy came from. That ordinary people are given a chance in life to do extraordinary things to the glory of God, and to take nothing and make somebody to go from nobody to telling everybody about a man named Jesus. Somebody say amen right there. What is this transformation of ordinary people? What is this that enables and transforms? Are we the ones whom they will see? Is it our skills, our power, our witness? The answer is no. Note the text again with me. They were uneducated, illiterate. Common men and people wondered at them, and then they knew that they had been with Jesus. Or within the book, the critics, they recognized. The devil, he recognized. The power and the boldness was not in the particular gift. The power was not in the particular personality of Peter and John. It had to come from somewhere else. For they didn't have it in the beginning. For they were ordinary people just like you and I. They were not born saints. Come on now. They were not born heroes. So where did it come from? They have been with Jesus. I just stopped by early this morning to ask you, do folks explain you that way? Mm-hmm. Do they say you caught an infection of the resurrection? Uh-huh. Or do they say that you have the same power as Jesus? Somebody talked back to me early this morning. Does anyone ever testify about you that something has happened and I know you've been with Jesus? Glory to God, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus. How else could Peter preach? And 5,000 people come, and they didn't just give their hand to the preacher, they got saved. For there is a difference. You know that, don't you? Uh-huh. How could they stand before the authorities and say, you may do what you want to do, but we're going to preach it anyhow. For we are witnesses of the risen Christ. I tell you, they caught an infection of the resurrection, and that's what changes ordinary people into extraordinary people. I remember my professor telling me about 36 years ago, he told me that a saint is a saint, not because he or she is good, but because he or she is transparent for something that is more than themselves, being a window of opportunity, a means of grace. Being in the place the Holy Spirit wants you is of ordinary people. Ordinary lives being of extraordinary witnesses to Christ. That addition to the phrase, silver and gold, have I not, but such as I have give to thee. We give the world the power and love of a risen living Savior that specializes in ordinary people just like you and I. This is a drive-by, as you can tell, and as I close this morning, I just want to talk to some ordinary people under the sound of my voice. For I, too, am an ordinary person doing some extraordinary things for an awesome God. And I just stopped by early this morning to tell you, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher, and I'm right here every Sunday morning, early, 7 a.m. May the God I serve bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Subway, try our new Italian hero, piled high with spicy capicola, mortadella, and Genoa salami. It'll brighten anyone's day.
If I need one of those new Italian heroes, my car won't start and my dog ran away.
That is a terrible day.
That's pretty typical for me. I'm a country singer.
I should have known.
The new Italian hero, with three authentic Italian deli meats, provolone, and oregano on freshly baked bread.
Your Italian hero really cheered me up. My car started and my dog is back.
Ooh, that should be the next single.
I think it is.
I'd buy it.
Subway. Fresh is what we do. For a limited time at participating restaurants.
That isn't just the sound of the 2016 Mercedes-Benz C-Class high-strength steel and aluminum frame being formed. It's the sound of conviction. Conviction that created a lighter, quicker, and more efficient C-Class, whose beautiful form commands attention, while its more powerful, fuel-efficient engine demands to be driven. This is what conviction sounds like. Now, discover what it feels like in a 2016 Mercedes-Benz C-Class.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Got to get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.